Hey friends, welcome to today's episode of Fit Friends Happy Hour. This is episode 146, and we've got a lot of new listeners, subscribers to the podcast, so I thought, what better time to dive back into intuitive eating? This episode is going to go through the 10 principles of intuitive eating, describe, you know, what it is, why it works, really break down a little bit of the research behind it, and I hope to give you some insight and understanding as to why this is the approach that not only has changed my life, but it is really the foundational philosophy that I use in the work that I do with my own clients with both fitness, movement, food. But I also want to share some tips on how you can actually implement this into your own life. Welcome to Fit Friends Happy Hour, a podcast about all things nutrition, fitness, and life in your 20s and 30s, all from a non-diet lens. I'm your host, Katie Hake, and I'm a registered dietitian nutritionist and certified personal trainer. Join me here every week as I talk with interesting people and experts from all walks of life about their relationship with food, exercise, and their bodies. I am on a mission to help you redefine the word fit, to help you stop quantifying and start living. Learn to stop measuring your success by the scale and find your fears. Wow. Episode 146. I still just have to like pinch myself that this podcast is almost up to 150 episodes. Wild. But you know, I don't do ads in here because who has time for that? And I know you just fast forward them. If you have an iPhone, you click that little 30-second and you keep going ahead. But today's episode is sponsored by me, by Reboot Bootcamp. So stay tuned to the end of today's episode. I'm going to give an exclusive offer just for my fit friends. A lot of you have been asking, you know, gosh, I just want to learn more about intuitive eating. I don't know where to start, but it's scary. It is scary to make an investment, to work with a dietitian, to work with a coach when you're not really sure. Like you're not even really bought into this idea of intuitive eating and it sounds super far-fetched. So I created an online course to help you do just that, to really just dip your toes to see, is this something I could do, right? It's a big question. And again, you don't have to like decide that overnight. Let's not make a big deal about it, but stay tuned to the end to get that exclusive offer. And yeah, let's do it. All right. So by the time you're listening to this, Monday, April 27th, I'll have been married and 28. Can you believe it? I will do an updated episode in the future, just talking about how that went, because right now I'm recording this on, what is it? Today is Thursday. And everybody's like, aren't you nervous? Are you scared? And I'm like, I have like no feelings right now. So that means, you know, you have no feelings. It means they're just like bottling up or they're just simmering down at the bottom and they're going to get ready to explode. Just, I feel like Saturday is when the wedding is that I'm just going to be crying, like happy tears. But you know, when you're just like crying and you're laughing and you're like, why can't I stop crying? I don't even know. But anyways, that is not what today's episode is about. Today, we're talking about you. We're talking about intuitive eating. I've gotten so many questions over the past few weeks about, well, can you explain this? Because I don't really understand what it is. A lot of the experts that have come on the show lately have also been experts in intuitive eating, and we talk about it a lot. So I thought this was just a great time to refresh. Let's review the principles. Let's break it down so that you go, oh, okay. Yeah, I get it. All right. So intuitive eating was actually created by Evelyn Triboli and Elise Resch. They're both registered dietitians. They shared an office next to each other and they realized, you know, why is it that we're doing what we were taught in nutrition school? We're telling, you know, our clients what to do and they're not doing it. Like there is this disconnect and what's going on? Why aren't they just doing what they say they need to do? And so they originally published the book Intuitive Eating in 1995. And I think it's on the third or fourth edition. The newest edition is coming out this summer. If you go to amazon.com/shop/KT Hake, I'll put the link in the show notes, you can actually pre-order that fourth edition that's coming out. So super excited. It's going to have updated research and just kind of the latest, right? We know that science is always evolving, more research is coming out, so it's important to stay up to date on that. But they basically came up with this framework, right? And now the most awesome part about this, right? This came out over 10 years ago, 10, 15 years ago. And now there's over 100 studies that show the benefits of intuitive eating. And for me personally, you know, you've heard my story if you've been with us for a while. I didn't even know that I was doing intuitive eating. You know, I think everybody's got their own story, but for me, I got to this point where my relationship with food and exercise, while never diagnosed with orthorexia or an eating disorder, it was definitely disordered. And I think it got to a point where I was just exhausted, you know, not just physically, but I was mentally exhausted of feeling guilty of just kind of this cycle of my diet's going to start Monday. I'll restart then. Well, if I just try this quote unquote lifestyle program, well, then that's going to be the answer. And for me, studying nutrition, I just kept thinking, well, once I learn this, then I'll be able to implement it. And then I'll be able to get the weight that I need to be. Or then it was, okay, once I graduate, then I'm going to lose the weight. Okay, once I get here, I'm going to lose the weight. And it was always, you know, this moving target really is what it was when it came to finding that ideal. And the reality is for me that I was never going to be happy at a certain size. You know, once you hit that quote unquote goal weight, there's something in the back of your mind that's, okay, well, I can do more. I can do less, eat less, move more. And it's exhausting. And so I really just decided to stop dieting. It was kind of a cold turkey approach. I just stopped and started filling my head with good positive things and talking to myself kinder, eating when I was hungry, stopping when I was full, you know, just trying to start to look at food differently. And it wasn't until actually a few years later that I discovered, oh, there's actually science that supports what I'm doing. And that was when I just took a pivot with the way that I coached my clients and the way that I put out information on social media, because I've seen the impact not just in myself, but in so many clients that I've worked with now who really this approach is life-changing. And I think at the end of the day, what we want, I mean, you're here for a reason. The reason you're listening to this is because you want more from your life. You don't want to spend hours and hours in the kitchen meal prepping. You don't want to spend hours in the gym training for whatever. Like, you have goals, you have dreams, you have things that you want to accomplish that require mental energy. And so this approach of intuitive eating really helps us to have more brain space, to free up that space in our mind that allows creativity, that allows dreaming, allows thinking, allows taking action. And you know, I'm such a firm believer of what we do in the gym and how that translates to helping us feel more confident outside in the gym. And this is kind of that same approach to food. It's, you know, how can we get more crossover? Let's stop separating work and life and training and food. Like, let's stop separating and compartmentalize. Is that the right word? Like, this is our life. And so if we can get to a point with our relationship with food and exercise in our body that allows us to live a more fulfilled life, well, isn't that the goal? Isn't that the point of everything? And so as a clinician, as a registered dietitian and fitness professional, that's really my goal. That's my goal for my clients, is I want them to see the bigger picture. And so that's why this approach is, I'm so passionate about it and I'm super excited. I'm actually in the process of becoming a certified intuitive eating counselor, basically to help me understand this process even more than we're going to talk about today, so that I can help my clients. I don't want to say see results quicker, because when I say results, you're probably thinking numbers, but in my head, I'm thinking mindset shift and maybe some things that aren't quite as tangible, but I think the best way to describe it is that bigger brain space. So let's dive right into it. If you've got a pen and paper, please take notes, because as we know, when we write things down, it just sticks a little bit better. But I'm also going to link to the principles and the official website in the show notes, so you'll have access to all this and it's all good. The first principle is reject the diet mentality. Now, this is number one because this is so foundational. So what I do with clients is I help them to understand that diets don't work, right? I can link to another study that I talk about a lot, is that we know that 95% of diets fail. Right. And so recognizing that, I need to just lose the hope that there's going to be another diet out there, that maybe I just haven't tried keto, or I just haven't tried this like wellness diet, right? Where you're not really dieting. It's like the non-diet diet. Do you know what I mean? Where you try to convince yourself, I'm not dieting, it's a lifestyle change, but you're still trying to put some sort of restriction or control around the food that you eat. So this principle encourages us to really let go of that hope that there's a quick fix out there. And if I find a diet that's going to help me lose weight, I'm going to lose it permanently. and really get angry at all the money that you've spent, all the mental energy that you've wasted investing on different diets and programs that have promised you weight loss, only to leave you feeling like a failure because you weren't able to follow through, because you weren't able to stick to it during the weekend, you know, whatever it is that looks like for you. But recognizing that you're not the issue, you're not the failure. It's the diets, it's the industry, it's the culture that we live in, unfortunately, that makes us feel like we're the failure when they're the issue. The second principle is to honor your hunger. Now, this sounds so foundational, but I can't even express to you how many clients I work with who only know how to identify that point in their hunger where they feel ravenous, where they feel hangry, where they are so hungry that they're going to bite their arm off. So what this means is not fearing hunger, like recognizing that those signs our body gives us, that is a biological beauty happening of our body telling us that we need to eat, right? Because we know that if we wait till that far end where we're super, super hungry, it can trigger this feeling of loss of control when we do get access to food. So, you know, starting to listen and pay attention to those signals before we get to that point and learning to honor your hunger and eat when your body is telling you and not let timing or other rules dictate your schedule of when you eat, but simply, if my body's telling me to eat, I eat. It's so foundational in rebuilding the trust with your body and therefore rebuilding the trust that you have in food. Okay, the third principle is to make peace with food. Now, in my opinion, my professional opinion, hands down, this is the most challenging principle and probably the principle that I work the longest with my clients. And you're probably asking, oh, Katie, do you just go step by step with your clients? No, everybody's a little bit different. I mean, sometimes we talk about the principles, sometimes not at all. They kind of get weaved in and everybody's different based on their history, based on where they're at currently in their relationship with food. And so it's kind of this overlying, we weave back and forth between them, but we don't just sit down and say, okay, today we're going to make peace with food because we know it's not that simple. But essentially what this principle means is to give yourself unconditional permission to eat. Now that key word there is unconditional permission, meaning you're basically going to sit down and tell yourself, I can eat whatever I want, as much of it that I want, whenever I want. Because we know that if we take things off limits, right? If I tell myself that food, you know, let's use sugar, for example. If I tell myself, okay, I'm doing X diet, let's say it's the whole 30 or something, and I cannot have any cookies. Like those are off limits, no sugar. What happens is that when we tell ourselves we can't or we shouldn't have a particular food, it leads to this intense feelings of deprivation. And eventually those feelings of deprivation can turn into these uncontrollable cravings, right? Is really what it is. You've all had that moment where you're starting a diet and then all you can think about is all the food that you can't have. And when we finally get to that point where we say, screw it, or we have access to the food, or, you know, the 30 days end, many times we, you know, quote, give in this chaotic form of eating, or even if it's not chaotic, a lot of times what ends up happening is that we feel guilty. You think, oh my gosh, I just was so quote unquote good for this long, and now I've just completely blew it. And I find my clients have a lot of this all or nothing mentality when it comes to food. So it's starting to look at food as neutral, right? There's no good food. There's no bad food. I can eat any food. Any food will provide me carbohydrates, protein, fat. Like the food that I eat, my body is smart enough that it's going to be able to convert it into energy and use it for fuel. And that can be really hard for people to wrap their heads around. But again, it's part of the journey. The fourth principle is to challenge the food police. So I think of like this little voice in my head, or I actually imagine in the small group, the Reboot Boot Camp I talked about earlier, I did small group training and I did some test rounds with it. And in one of the weeks we talked about the food police, and I found this picture of this carrot that was dressed as a policeman. And so now I always think of this policeman carrot in my head, like writing you a ticket, like telling you, hey, you shouldn't be eating that, or good job, you follow the rules, you obeyed the law, but if you don't, you're going to get in trouble and you're going to go to jail and you should feel bad about it. So challenging the food police basically means telling that policeman carrot to get out of here and stop equating morality to the foods that you eat. So the more that we challenge that voice in our head, the more we can get it to shut off, right? And we can make decisions about our food truly from a place of how we are feeling physically, not just being driven by the mental and emotional sides of it. Okay, the fifth principle is discover the satisfaction factor. Have you ever been to a restaurant and you've ordered dessert or maybe, you know, I don't know, something fancy like a steakhouse and the food, the flavors were so rich and intense that you didn't even need to eat a lot of it. Like you just had a bite and it was like, oh, that's so good. Hit the spot and you just felt so satisfied. There's many other countries in the world who I guess you could say are better at this principle because that's part of their culture. The culture is really having this enjoyment around food. Whereas in our culture, in our diet society, we've been trained to control food and not really embrace it and kind of this food is fuel mentality. When the reality is, if we can eat foods that do bring us more pleasure, that, you know, make us feel good and we enjoy them, we're probably going to need less of it. Or we're going to eat the amount that not just nourishes us, but satisfies us and move on with our lives. Principle number six is to feel your fullness. So you've gotten to the point where you're really starting to honor your hunger. You're not waiting till you're that point of ravenous to eat. So this is kind of the other side of the spectrum of feeling your fullness. So many of my clients find that they can easily identify that feeling of Thanksgiving stuffed, kind of that uncomfortable feeling of fullness. But how can we find that happy medium where we're not just full, but we're satisfied? Those signs that our body tells us, okay, you're no longer hungry. And for many people, that's challenging to find that sweet spot, especially around certain foods, right? We talked about making peace with foods because so many foods have been off limits that people find that there's certain foods, say it's sweets or salty or whatever it is for you, or carbs, where when they do eat them, they eat them in a way that causes them to overeat. And so sometimes when we feel that over fullness, it's associated with guilt. It's associated with kind of this loss of control around certain foods. And so it's starting to listen to those feelings, again, those biological signals that our body is telling us of, okay, I've had enough and I don't need to eat anymore. Otherwise, it's going to make me uncomfortable. Which leads to principle number seven, which is coping with your emotions with kindness. Now, so often emotional eating gets a bad rap, but recognizing that, you know, when we restrict food, that can trigger this loss of control, not just physically, but also mentally. And it can feel like emotional eating. And so the question is, do I have other tools in my toolbox that I can use to deal with my feelings, to deal with my emotions other than just food, right? We've all been in that situation where, let's say boredom, for example, you know, I'm trying to do some work, I'm stressed out, I go to the kitchen because I don't want to do what is happening or I don't want to sit with this boredom. And then what happens? You get done eating the food and you're still bored or you're still stressed. And so it's recognizing that food's not going to fix any of these feelings. Food does help temporarily in the short term to comfort us, to distract us, or even in some senses help you to numb out the feelings. But we know at the root of the issue, it doesn't solve the problems. And if anything, it only compounds, you know, the problems, making us feel guilty and this other mental stress that comes along with it. So learning how to really just, again, look at the bigger picture in this realm of self-care, how am I able to take care of myself from not just a physical standpoint, but a mental and emotional and spiritual space as well? Principle number eight is respecting your body. Now, I used to work in a clinic where I would work with women, men and women, who were probably in, you know, their 50s, 60s, who would come to me and tell me that they wanted to get back to a size that they were in high school. And so it's recognizing, listen, my body is different, you know, just as somebody who's a size six would never fit into a size shoe of a 10. You know, the same thing goes with our bodies. There's so much more to it. It's genetics. There's be realistic, right? Now, I always think of that person. We all have a person in our lives who we don't necessarily like, but we respect them. And so can I change the way that I talk to myself to respect that where I'm at? Because when we respect our bodies, you're going to feel better about who you are. And it's really hard to go back to that first principle of rejecting the diet mentality if you're unrealistic. And if you're constantly critical about the body size or shape that you're in, and it's not saying that striving for weight loss or to change your body is bad, because if you're uncomfortable, you're uncomfortable, and your feelings are valid the way that you feel, but it's recognizing that all bodies, all shapes and sizes deserve to be treated with dignity and respect and kindness. And so ask yourself, how is it that I talk to myself? You know, the way I talk to myself about my body, would I say that same thing to my daughter? Would I say it to my best friend? And so learning to talk in a way that's more kind. Okay, the ninth principle, and this is updated. So it used to be exercise to feel the difference, but now in the society that we live in, you know, exercise often gets associated with this boot camp, Jillian Michaels, drill sergeant type of mentality. And so they actually updated it to just say movement, feel the difference. And I love replacing the word exercise with movement, because it's, how can I just move more? How do I notice what I feel physically when I move more? Do I have less pain? Do I have more energy? Do I have more creativity? You know, because if we simply focus on burning calories, that's not going to keep us motivated very long, you know? And some days your body might want to do a high intensity. Other days you may wake up planning to go for a long run, but your body just hurts. And maybe you've got other things going on. So how can you adapt your movement schedule, I guess we can say, to respect that, and just focusing more on the feeling versus the actual calorie burning effects. And the last principle, which you're probably wondering, like, I don't understand, this is science-based, you're a dietitian, but we haven't even really talked about nutrition. And so the last principle is to honor your health using gentle nutrition. So once we can really get in a better brain space with the way we look at food, then we can start to make choices that honor our health and our taste buds that make us feel good physically, but also, you know, mentally and emotionally, whatever it is that I need. But it's recognizing that I don't have to eat perfect 100% of the time in order to be healthy. You're not going to get a nutrient deficiency if you don't eat enough carbs one day. And on the flip side, you know, if you eat carbs, you're not going to gain 10 pounds, right? And it's, what am I doing from week to week, month to month, in the bigger picture over time? That's what matters. And it's starting to look at the bigger picture and integrate things that are important to you. So for example, you know, I have some vegetarians and vegans that I work with, and it's important to them that they eat a more plant-based diet because, I don't know, that's better for the environment or whatever it is that it's important to them. And so it's, am I making these decisions around nutrition just for the sole purpose of nutrition, or am I doing it with the goal of weight loss and the goal of shrinking my body and mind? And so it's really beautiful once we can get to, you know, this is kind of the epitome of intuitive eating. It's when we start to kind of have this mind-body congruence. Can my mind also appreciate my body? And I'm making decisions from a variety of angles, not just simply focused on the weight. So I hope you guys enjoyed this episode of Fit Friends Happy Hour. Those are the 10 principles. I will link in the show notes everything that we talked about today. And I invite you to join the Reboot Bootcamp. It's an 8-week program, but again, it's going to be work at your own pace, where you'll get access to an online course that dives a lot deeper into each principle. We're also going to have access to a Facebook group where we can connect with other women who are really in your same space. And I will be doing live weekly Q&As, giving you more access, really to help you put these principles into practice. So it does not replace therapy or working with a dietitian one-on-one, but it's really meant to just give you a stepping stone to help you start to improve your relationship with food and see if intuitive eating is something that will work for you. So if you're interested, go to katiehake.com/bootcamp. And once I send the link out, you'll put your email in, I'll send the link to register. And if you use the code FFHH, that's going to get you $50 off the program. And remember, you're going to have access to the program for a year, and it's work at your own pace. But I will be encouraging you, giving you a gentle pull, nudge to work through it week to week, because just like anything, what we focus on becomes our reality. And when we can put it at the forefront, we take action. That's when we see results. That's when we see change. And that's when life gets good, right? Although life's already good. But anyways, that's it for today's episode. Have a wonderful week. Share this with a friend who also wants to learn more about intuitive eating. And we'll see you over on Facebook. Thanks. Have a good day.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Fit Friends Happy Hour. If you liked this episode, don't forget to share it with a friend. You can also find us on Instagram and Facebook at Fit Friends Happy Hour. Talk to you next time.